States of America, to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Public comments. Is there anybody here wishes to speak? Hearing none. Anybody from the board? Any announcements? None? Okay, we'll move on to item four, discussion and action. 4.1, discussion and action to approve the June 19th, 2025 regular planning and zoning commission meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Yeah, you got a motion and second. All in favor, if you raise your hand. Okay. See, I understand. 4.2, discussion and possible action to consider the petition submitted to the city of South Battery Island by the local residents of West Caroline Drive to change short-term rentals to long-term rentals on West Caroline Drive from Laguna Boulevard to Laguna Madre Bay.
Alex Sanchez, Public Works Director. We received this on June the 4th to change from short-term to long-term. We did look at it. This is in the E district, which is allowed. We kind of looked at it a little bit. We think the only way to do that is a rezoning. I did look at quickly. There might be an option to do like an overlay, but still requires like a zoning change. I don't know.
So, Alex, question. So is the only way we can do this is with a zoning change?
As far as I understand, but I'll refer that to legal.
Yes. Yes, that's the only way you could do it, or you're changing, not, you're basically changing the use in that district. The problem is, and there's a number of legal concerns, you'd have to change every, you just couldn't change that one street.
Right.
To me, that would be.
The city couldn't just give an exception like they've done in other areas?
I don't think they give exceptions to, in the Padre Boulevard district, there's ways to get a special use exception or things like that. But they don't change the zoning. Here, it's not even a variance. I mean, they can't even go to the Board of Adjustments. You can't ask for a variance just for one property to be able to, you know, prohibit short-term rentals. Probably no one's more sympathetic to short-term rental problems than me. I mean, I was basically forced to leave the island because of the problem, so I could sympathize with them. But my position, my job is to represent the board and, more importantly, the city of South Padre Island. And there's a number of legal issues I can discuss briefly, but number one, you'd have to change the zone for every property in the E district. Yeah. If you change just this one street, I think that would be spot zoning. So the next question is, why not change the whole E district to prohibiting short-term rentals? Which I thought when I was mayor, I thought that's what we did, but somehow it may have changed down the line. But the problem there is the state of the law on short-term rentals regulations and the authority of a municipality is really in flux and full of uncertainty. I read new cases a lot. The city of Fort Worth, Arlington, New Braunfels have been successful in a judge ruling that they can totally prohibit short-term rentals in residential areas. The Fort Worth case is on appeal. The city of Dallas lost their case prohibiting them in certain residential areas, and there was an injunction issued against them to, they can't enforce that ordinance. So they're now in the position, the city of Dallas case, to either appeal the injunction or to go to trial and start. Every city official and especially city attorneys are really hoping that one of these cases, the Dallas case or the Fort Worth case, gets to the Supreme Court so we could get some clear guidance on what a city can and can do. The cities can clearly regulate in terms of licensing, even occupancy, a number of different regulations, but a total prohibition, I just can't recommend at this point. So we go back to, I think if you change the entire E-district, you're basically prohibiting short-term rentals in any E-district, which I don't think we have the authority, or there's still uncertainty about that. Or if you do this just one street, I think that's also amenable to a possible claim of spot zoning. The other thing is that I'm not sure if the petitioners realize that, that even if it was changed, people that are there now are grandfathered. I mean, they would not be prohibited. You're taking an investment away from them, or unconstitutional taking of property rights if you tell some guy that you can no longer, we're changing the law, you can't do that anymore. That issue came up with the golf carts, with the scooters, with every city. The judge in the Dallas case basically saying that the constitutional, that no citizen shall be deprived of life, liberty, property in any manner except by due process, and that the homeowners, the people that are doing the short-term rentals, have a vested right to lease their properties, and this right is sufficient to support a viable claim of due course. That means an unconstitutional taking of their property without due process. So again, we're all hoping that one of those cases will get to the Supreme Court and give us some guidance, but I can't recommend that you would approve the petition and either change one street or the entire district. I mean, they could hire a private lawyer, maybe have a different opinion. All the property owners can get together and put deed restrictions in it for the future that, you know, when you buy this property, you cannot do short-term rentals, but that's not going to cause the or cure the problem at this point. We just passed a new ordinance. There may be some tweaking that's necessary, but I mean, I would like to see how that ordinance plays out to enforce it more. There's some more strict rules of conduct regarding properties and the owners being responsible for the conduct of the occupants. But that just passed, and we're just really starting that process and see how that works out. But
well, hypothetically, could you change that zone on that street to a new zone that would exclude it?
I think you'd be amenable to an argument of spot zoning, that you're only zoning a particular small area for the benefit of some
people. How small does the area have to be?
I mean, that's every case to case is different. I don't feel comfortable in recommending you could do that.
Okay.
Can that street become their own HOA?
Yeah, that was also a possibility that I think they could discuss or explore with a private lawyer. But that would, again, I don't think you're going to be able to exclude the person that's already there.
It's running right now.
Yeah.
It would just prevent others.
Right.
From in the
right. Because homeowners associations could, they would have no, the Supreme Court has ruled that homeowners association could establish rules like that, and it's fine. But when you come to municipality, prohibition, a total prohibition, even in a certain area, is really still up in the air. The Austin's ordinance was declared unconstitutional. The Supreme Court refused to hear that. So we're hoping that one case gets up there. And again, they're grandfathered anyway, that the owner has a vested interest in their property. And it could be an unconstitutional, unlawful taking, which can lead to some liability on the part of the city. Again, I sympathize with them. I know I've been in that position. It's people are entitled to enjoy a quiet neighborhood. Short-term rentals have ruined neighborhoods throughout the entire state. We're not the only ones facing this problem. Cities have tried to adopt. I think those other cities that won their lawsuits, there has not been an appeal. So, unless there's an appeal, no one's going to contest it. But the Fort Worth case, where they were allowed to ban short-term rentals, is on appeal, and the Dallas case, which tried to ban short-term rentals in residential areas, they lost, and that's on appeal. So hopefully one of those cases will get up, and but that could be a year at least.
Okay. That answered my question.
Thank you.
Alex, do you have anything else to add?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Sam Cannon. I'm resident of the island. I think this issue is not about a person's being able to lease a property. I'm a Texan. I think use of property is what makes us Texans. However, what is not appropriate is for the use of a property to affect badly and poorly the area around it. That is our issue. If there is another way that you can recommend that we approach solving this issue, we're all about it. Most significantly, I think in the way governing works in this country, a majority of that proportion that we have, 88% or so of the people on the street, a majority of that magnitude holds great sway. Understanding that, I can't quite understand this, how that a zone was made, it wasn't made, it was supposed to have been this, but it's not. Nobody kind of knows exactly what happened, and what we are is we have ended up in this, in this situation. But in our opinion, in my opinion, and I have some representatives here too, and they can speak for themselves. But the spirit of the single family dwelling did not consider and allow for the interruption, the degradation, and the incompatibility of short-term rentals on the health, the safety, and the quality of life of residential neighborhoods. The adverse effect of this particular property on the health, the safety, and the quality of life is well documented. In fact, it has propagated the city council to revisit, strengthen, and enforce short-term rental ordinances on the whole island. And for that, we are grateful. In our opinion, in my opinion, this petition to eliminate the short-term rentals on West Carolyn Drive from Laguna Boulevard to the Laguna Madre should be absolute and all-inclusive. Yes, current contracts, license agreements should be completely honored till it's time for renewal. At that point, this petition would disallow short-term rentals, and those contracts would not be renewable. We understand that the authority to enact these kinds of things falls with the city council, and the state of Texas has, even just recently, according to the summary from the last legislative session that was presented at the council meeting last night, has put these kind of restriction abilities on the city councils and neighborhoods in which they live. I had some other things to say, but at this point, I think I will leave it at that, in that I will thank you for your consideration. I do understand. I think that these recommendations go to the city council. At that point, they become considered appropriately. We will appreciate that this committee's recommendation to the city council be that our street, West Carolyn Drive, eliminate short-term rentals and be only long-term rentals going forward. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question to Mr. Cannon?
Sure, absolutely.
How many residences are we talking about that's affecting the life, safety, welfare of the street?
You should know.
We have our own cartographer.
We have that.
Do you have that?
Oh, okay. That's what that sheet is. Okay.
This is Laguna Gold Garden. This is the.
Yes, sir.
These are vacant lots. This Alex, house did not.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
Stamping. Alex, can we put this on projector?
I counted eight. I counted 18 homes.
Yeah, this is in our
people out there can't see it, and the people watching rental. Can't see it.
Okay, you guys have everything.
I'll move it. I see what's happening.
There you go.
Okay.
Yes.
Laguna Boulevard, the Bay. These two are vacant lots. This house did not sign. This one. This is a double lot. This one, and this one all signed. Mm-hmm. This one is a house that is leased, and I didn't know where the owner lives. So that's not signed. This one. These two did not sign. This one is the property in question. This one, and this one did sign.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, you say property in question. There had to be a beginning to this, and so that's okay. Is it a permitted or not permitted through the city? Is it under, is it in a company, or is it self-rented?
Shall I give you the history? Because the short answer is yes. The short answer is yes. It is privately owned, and has recently been put with a Vacasa as the, okay. the sign in the front. The sign in the front that has okay. been recently placed is from Vacasa.
Because we've for 2 years we've done all we can regarding maybe parking, number of occupants. Well, we've had to come up with ratios, you know, number of beds, baths, park, you know, all this. We've kind of beat this to death. And this is just kind of unusual in the sense that it is one street. We're not talking an island-wide problem. It's just the residents of this street, you know, overwhelmingly would like to just be not you know, long-term only, no short-term rentals. But as our counselor had said, I mean, we can't spot zone this island. We can't take rights away from people. I do understand that Zone E is that's the premier of where you want to live. That's the long-term, full-time residents live on, and they want E. To just rezone all of E, oh my gosh, it'd be an outrage. I don't know how we could do that. It's like Ed had said, we don't have guidance on what we can do legally. What is our option?
Yeah, because Zone A is exclude short-term rental just by their thing, and Zone E never had that clause put in.
I have some questions.
Sure.
Well, I know Zone E is our quietest zone. Mm. The advertisements for this property say quiet hours are these times. They don't define what quiet hours are. And if I were to walk into a property and they said quiet hours is 82 decibels, I'd look at you like you're from outer space, because that doesn't mean anything to me. This one is zoned 75 in the day. That's quiet. That's like a vacuum cleaner. That's during the day. And 68 at night, which is like a casual conversation at dinner with a small family. It's a pretty quiet zone, the whole E is. I understand that. And so I know noise, kids playing in a backyard. In a backyard pool, in any residence, gonna bounce up above 75 all the time, just by nature of people, adults, kids playing in a backyard. But this is a very quiet ease, super quiet. It's very very quiet for any type of short-term rental party. But I have my real question is, when did Vacasa take over the management of this house?
I don't have that answer, but what I do know is it has been ineffective.
I'm just asking how long.
The sign is very recent because we sent them a letter saying you're in violation, that you don't have your representative sign. So when I drove by there yesterday, the sign is there, but I'm not sure if they were representing them before the sign or how long.
I don't know. I know on their ad, they now have the advertisement for this property that they've installed a decibel meter and it's monitored by smart technology and they will come to you. I don't know if they do, but if you get too loud, they're going to be there. I don't know. I think that's a step in the right direction if they've just done that. That's a step in the right direction.
How many complaints have you filed?
Can you see this phone?
And when was the first one?
7/19/2024. Now here's
so a year ago.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna give you the history. Okay. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. We have, and I speak for myself, I have endured during the renovation. I have endured from the times when wind came, blew stuff in the swimming pool because the owners, they don't live here. They live in, I'm not sure where they live. Edinburgh maybe, I'm not sure, don't quote me on that. This has been a problem since inception. Even to the point that before all this happened, it's 4:30 in the morning, and I'm listening to Inagata Davida. I'm trying to be a nice guy, and I know I made the mistake early on of thinking that the police department of South Padre Island was to do things like human trafficking, drug trafficking, policing, and not call about noise at a place. Because disrespect just is not what we live for, right? And to your Ms. Hayes, to your point exactly, yes. My interpretation of the ordinance of the short-term rental ordinance, and this is my interpretation, and I just by words, knowledge is power. The power is in the words, and so here's the thing: it's divided into two pieces. There is the objective piece, which is, as you say, the decibels and the thing that I can put. There are many more words with regard to the subjective nuisance of noise, which goes for lights too, by the way. Many more words about the subjective noise. And that summary of that is that if it's uncomfortable in your house, it's too loud. I live two doors down. Yes, kids in swimming pools, things like that. None of those are these complaints. These are music. There are, I'll get back to here. There are complaints. This is cars parked. The house full of people. That was from 7/19/2024. Excessive noise. If you want me to read them, I will. 7/20. Again on 7/20, 8/27, 8/26.
This is last year.
Yes, ma'am.
Curious as to what's happening this year.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. Since the ordinance passed on May 28th, is that correct?
Yeah.
I am really not going to get excited here. This is an objective discussion. Give me just a moment. Basically, nothing has changed. Let me just summarize things by that. And if these folks don't think that's true, well, I'm happy for them to stand up and say.
Well, I'm just curious how many times they've been called and been given a notice of violation since May 28th.
That's two questions.
That is being tracked by staff. Now, remember, just because there had been a number of calls where his officers go over there and say it's unfounded, we didn't hear any noise or we didn't think it was worth it. I think recently there was one written warning given. And there's been maybe one citation. Now, the new ordinance, for those just who may not be familiar, states that if there's three citations or four written warnings given, it's an or, within 12 months, the property's license is subject to be revoking, and you can get a hearing and so forth. Now, this is new, but there's been some discussion already about getting rid of the warnings and just making the citations. Because when should an officer give a warning? When should give a citation? But that's still, right now, it's three citations, four warnings within a 12-month period. Subject, you have a hearing, and a designee of the city would decide to revoke the license. If so, it's for a year, and they have a right to appeal. In addition to the part of the noise ordinance that Sam's mentioned about it being such a volume and intensity and excessiveness that would annoy the sensitivities of an ordinary person, that's the subjective test. There's a decibel reading test. There's also a test where an officer on his own could say that's extremely loud and I'm going to give a citation. And the other thing that I thought is important is that in that district, during the week, you cannot have any kind of outside speakers after 10 o'clock or on the weekends after 11 o'clock, no matter how low or how high the volume is. I thought that was really important. This incident about the children playing was at 8:41, almost 9 o'clock, and they had a speaker at the pool. But after 10 on weekdays, 11, you cannot have any. We've just started looking at the ordinance, trying to enforce it. I would also state, well, for the first time, there's been communication between the city and the owner. I don't know if there was much communication at all. They seem to be willing to try to comply and work with the city. We'll just see how that goes. But at this time, they're still trying to enforce the ordinance. But every complaint doesn't lead to a citation or a warning. And I think Sam and I have discussed this. There were a few complaints about parking on the street, and the officers went over there, and there was like their tires were like 2 or 3 inches on the street. And he said, we're not going to give someone a ticket or a warning for that. But if they're parking all over the street, they're not allowed to park on the street. But the main complaint is the noise. I was a victim of that for quite some time and basically had enough of it. So I could sympathize. I would just ask, let's give the ordinance a chance to see how we can enforce it, and hopefully things can get better. Or hopefully get a case, some guidance from the Supreme Court. We're lucky, I guess, in the sense that no one has challenged the A rule. No one's bought a home in A saying, I want to rent it, and we've had to try to stop it. That's what would really lead to the lawsuit and the court proceedings, but that hasn't happened. But as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, if you prohibit it in the entire E district, we'll have a lawsuit within minutes. There's a number of people who bought homes over the last couple of years to rent out in E district as short-term rentals, which I still think, if I had my way, I would prohibit them all in E and A.
Every residential district.
Yeah. I think when I was mayor, we zoned that area where we'd have a buffer from the tourists. The Bayside would be our neighborhoods. We could have families and children, and it was. And then all of a sudden, I Martha and I went back and looked at some old memos from Mr. Cunningham, because I always thought that. No, I didn't think you could rent it in E too, but somewhere there was a change, and now we're trying. It's moot at this point, but trying to run down what exactly happened. A has been no rentals for almost forever. So,
Ed, I think from what I'm hearing, I think we've discussed this outside of here, not even about this, but the ordinance exists. We're just not enforcing all of them.
Well, we're starting to enforce it now more than ever, yeah, just because of people like Sam in those neighborhoods. I think the city council's been reacting to it and trying to do something about it, and I drafted an ordinance, and we may have to tweak it a little bit, but we're starting to enforce. I prepared a template notice letter yesterday for the staff about Let's use the same letter every time there's a citation, because the owner's got to be notified, even though, because a noise ordinance would go to the occupant who has control, but the owner is also responsible, so we're required, the ordinance requires us to send a notice to the owner or the representative saying, listen, you need to make sure your tenants are aware of all the rules because you're responsible and your license is subject to revocation. So there's been an enforcement that's picked up, I would say, in the last 30 days. But all before right. that, there probably was a lack of enforcement to a degree.
And Ed, doesn't this also do all three? It does the occupants?
Yes.
The operator, which in this case would be Vacasa, and the owner?
Correct.
All three could be cited.
Correct.
All three could even, if there was a citation issued, it could be issued to all three of them separately. Each would get their own citation.
Right.
So Vacasa in the middle is still as much at risk as everyone else. And
for revocation purposes, it would be one incident, probably just one citation for the three. But yeah, you're right. All three are responsible.
Do you know if the owners have ever responded to anything?
Yeah, we've been in contact with them for the first time, and they seem to be somewhat amenable. Ms. Delgado's had the most contact with Sam and the owner, and I know they put up the sign after we requested it, and there's some indication that we're trying to tell our tenants to, you know, to make sure they're keeping it, you know, down. I'm not sure how much, if any, was done before last month with the owner, but I think communicating with the owner has increased, and it's that hopefully could be helpful.
Was the owner notified about this meeting?
Maybe. I'm not sure about this meeting.
Websites for everyone, right? You can check.
He was notified of the city council meetings when his property was going to be discussed, but I don't know if he was notified of this meeting. Maybe we should have notified him. But I'll make sure if it gets back to the council that he's notified.
It concerns me that you want to do this to a whole street, and I recognize today this is only one house, but 30 years from now, it could be 10 houses that want to rent. I'm trying to be devil's advocate here. Because this is so specific to change a zone for one street, shouldn't every owner be notified that it's going to happen?
Oh, if you're going to be changing, yes. You got to go through the publication of a notice in the paper and 200 feet or yards of every person that they would have to be notified. This, we don't have to notify them for this meeting, but for the city council meeting.
Oh, certainly.
This is just coming to us for a recommendation.
Right.
Okay. Want to get this understood.
Yes, gosh, yes. Again, that was to that point. First of all, answering your question, 10 times since the ordinance was in, there have been 10 phone calls and complaints now. The registration with the police enactment, and we also are very aware and appreciate that it's at the officer's discretion. When there are cars parked on the street overnight, that city ordinance should have been cited, in my opinion. It was not at the discretion of ever what happened, and we appreciate and abide by all that. Two things I have to say in closing, I guess. Again, this is not about someone leasing. Paramount to this whole discussion is the preservation, again, of the health, the safety, and the quality of life for people who live here. In my estimation, that is a higher priority than a business venture from someone else. That's my opinion, and I will stand by that no matter what any council says. Second of all, this is not about property use. From my experience, when the guy next to us decided that he was in a far west Texas ranch, when he decided he wanted to burn some of his field, he can do whatever he wants. But when that fire crossed over into our property, that was a whole nother batch of worms. That's what this is. What happens at this house is not contained at this house. I could go on for another 30 minutes about things I know that happen inside the house. I don't care if they have horses in there. What I do care about is that if my grandsons are here, we don't have to experience that type of environment. And I will stand here until Jesus comes with that flag. Okay. I appreciate your time. Any other questions?
I have one question for you, and I'll ask you this because you
I think you were part. I've been to most council meetings except for last night. It was tied up with someone. Two council meetings ago, you were speaking and you were told that there was going to be a reset. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot about from council and ask them, but can you share what that reset was?
Yes, sir. To my understanding, I only go by words. Words on page are where knowledge lives, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. At the passing of the ordinance, there was no mention in that ordinance about effective dates or anything like that. So in my way of thinking, that ordinance became in effect that way. And the ordinance also says that it is the responsibility of the owner to know what's going on, to know what the rules are. It's the response. It says specifically that. So as far as babysitting people that have things, that is not, you don't care what I did for a living before I got here, but I can guarantee you, nobody babysatted us. Babysat us. Back to the point. What happened was I delineated what I consider to be violations. Those violations were thrown out because the reset clock went to July the 1st. On July the 1st, there were some other, including the sign, the ordinance for the sign. One of the violations, I thought, by the words, was no sign. I brought that to the attention. That got pushed back because it's too hard, they're too busy, whatever the reasons are, it got pushed back to August the 1st. So, does that answer your question?
I've answered my question. Thank you.
As frustrated as it does.
I could add on about the reset, if you don't mind. I was part of that because we were trying to keep track of the citations and warnings, and I gave a very detailed memorandum, which I think Sam got a copy of, about the process that must be followed, again, to be able to revoke someone's, because we're talking about revoking someone's right to rent property, and I told them we have to be overcautious. We got to make sure we're doing this absolutely correct. And we started looking at it, and the citations weren't sent to the owner as required. One citation on June 19th, we just said, well, we could start on that one, but why don't we just pick a date of July 1st and just that's the date that everything starts, because some of the citations or warnings given before that time, I don't think the ordinance wasn't properly followed. So I prepared a memorandum about each step that must be taken. I prepared the notice letter. I said, let's start fresh so that everyone's aware. I think everyone in the community got an extension about the sign. Not just Carolyn Street, but everybody, just because about this, having to put a sign with their name on it. But I sort of, getting off track, but I always said that, well, maybe if the owner's name's on it, they can call the guy and that actually could lead to less problems. But a lot of people thought that's a violation of their privacy and they didn't want their names and, you know, on the sign, just their number. But I was part of the reset, just saying that let's just do this right. We want to make sure every step is followed exactly the way it's supposed to be. And I think we're doing that now.
And we appreciate, we appreciate that too. This is, we appreciate the council and Mr. Skent. We appreciate all that. At least at this point, there is some coordination and cooperation with this problem. But I am here to tell you, and if you live here, you don't need me to tell you, that this is a really, really big problem. All I want to do is surf, windsurf, talk to my neighbors. I don't want anybody to know that I live here. I want to be anonymous. Because of this issue, however, more than three times, I'm just out doing what I do, and someone I do not know comes to me. One lady was pushing another lady in a wheelchair, left the lady in the wheelchair, came up to me, grabbed me by the arm. I did not know her, and she said, I want to thank you guys for what you're doing. This is not just us. this is an issue that must be fixed.
Well, you know, to me, this is kind of a weird situation. You know, nobody came to the residents of E-Zone and asked them before the city allowed and set up the program to manage short-term rentals and said, is this okay with everybody? And then when so they went ahead and did it anyway. And now when a group of citizens come to the city council and say, we don't want this, we don't like it, it's affecting our quality of life, can you please do something about it? So then they pass it to us and expect us to give them a recommendation when we've been basically told there is no real resolution. You know, so that kind of puts us on the spot here to try to do something when we've just been told we can't.
You know, Sam, but I'll wait until the public is done with their comments. When we get to our discussion, I'll have an idea.
Thank you,
Sam.
Get to it.
We've got a couple back here. Do you all want to speak?
Sam's covered it very well.
Okay.
There's no point in rehashing it.
Okay.
In that case, I'll go ahead and talk now. You know, I don't think any residents are fans of short-term rentals unless they own one, right? Yeah. Bottom line, we've all seen the deterioration of our neighborhoods. We've all seen the damage that does. And Ed was a good example of that. He ended up leaving the island because of it. I think this proposal is completely unfair, not only unfair to the individual that owns property that is already have a short-term rental, but it'll be unfair to other residents in other neighborhoods. Because what would happen if you eliminate short-term rental on one street, all the short-term rentals in the other streets are going to have greater impact. You have more people renting there. None of us like the short-term rentals. Nobody does. Over a year ago, I made a suggestion that we recommend to the city council that we limit short-term rentals on this island. This committee wouldn't even second my motion, never even got to the city council. So in today's situation, what I would suggest, I think that we can't, not only because of the legal issues that Ed explained, but the unfairness, the innate unfairness of limiting one street, I think that what we should do is recommend to the city council that they deny this request, because we basically have to. But in lieu of this request, perhaps we should recommend limits on short-term rentals on the island. And I think at this point, the only thing we could possibly do is, what I would recommend we do is recommend the city council they don't issue any further short-term rental permits in all the residential neighborhoods, not just E, all except for B. So I would say A, E, and B2, all except for B, because B has hotels and motels. And obviously you can have short-term rentals in hotels and motels. So I would recommend that we recommend City Council that they stop issuing permits for residential neighborhoods of A, E, and B2, and even go as far as, I don't know if we could go as far as, to suggest that not transfer any of those permits as well. So if someone sold their property, they have to sell somebody that intended to rent it long-term or live there.
So you can make that recommendation, and basically what you're suggesting is really some sort of moratorium, I guess, on new licenses. You know, and hopefully we can maybe get some guidance on the law at some point. But you know, you have the discretion to recommend whatever, or you don't even have to make any recommendation if you don't want to. And of course, once you make a recommendation, the city council may hear it, may not. I don't even know if they have to follow up and hear it, but I would think they probably would like to hear from you guys.
Mm-hmm. I think it's worth the recommendation. Yours.
Okay.
How do you deal with that when you've got their street that only has one renter on it?
I wish my street.
And then you have streets that are 90% renters.
That's why at this point, I recommend you don't issue any new ones. They stop issuing new ones, and then once the individual owns the one house on their street, they want to sell it, You have to sell to somebody that understands they can only rent it out long-term or live there.
Unless a rental slot comes open.
No, I'm saying we're not going to issue any more permits in residential neighborhoods.
So to basically over time turn all residential neighborhoods into just...
Back to neighborhoods like it was when a lot of us moved here. Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, everyone would be grandfathered, as we mentioned. Yeah.
I didn't understand.
Well, that's why I'm saying that, you know, the ones that have them, obviously they're going to keep them.
Right.
But what we're going to be is don't issue any new ones in zones A, E, and B2.
A,
indefinitely.
B2. I'm just going to look
at it. Every time.
I didn't understand what you were saying before, but I understand now.
Every time we have a complaint, the police come out.
Yeah.
Can we charge the people for that police call? In other words, what I'm trying to do is make the penalty for getting these complaints more severe. You know, basic, accounting principles, supply and demand. You know, you make it expensive for them to get a call.
Well, if a citation is given and it's, I mean, they're subject to a fine up to $500 per citation per day.
Fine all three of them. Fine the owner, fine the operator, fine the renter. That's $1,500.
You know, if we can't stop them, we can't get rid of what we got. Let's make it expensive for them. If they're doing their thing right, the people are coming,
right,
visiting the home, you know, going to the beach in the day, going out for dinner, going home, go to sleep.
Most of them do.
Nobody cares.
Most of them do.
It's the ones that come there to party all right, 3 or 4 in the morning. Now, if you make that penalty so severe for that activity, you know, it should help control it.
That and finding the multiple entities is when we find people, usually the rental company just pays the fine for the owner because they're making all the money. So the owner doesn't even, they either don't even know when we issue a fine to them, the homeowners association.
Not where we are. It goes to the owner.
Yeah.
And then we put a lien on their house if they don't pay it.
Yeah. Well, that's a
rental. Hope is that this notice letter that you're subject to losing your license, which is a lot more than $500, will hopefully get some of these people to snap and say, this is important. We got to make sure we're in compliance or we could lose our license and then lose thousands and thousands of dollars a year.
But it's important that we step up enforcement.
That's true.
It's not so much as
I can't count
how
many
much
times
you're
going
to charge them or, you know, have a fee scale on what they're going to pay for each infraction. But it's more of it's just a step up the enforcement.
I can't count how many times this committee has mentioned stepping up enforcement.
I know. Yeah. I want to say we have a Councilman Matters. You want to come up and speak?
You better head for the door. We don't know which.
I'm happy.
I'm going to ratchet it down, Chris. Ken Matters. I don't live on this street. Actually, I'm speaking more to Ms. Reed because she's new. I don't live, but I live probably 3 minutes as a crow flies. I've been at the house at least a dozen times. These folks have called. This house, for a fact, has rented 10 o'clock Friday morning to 11 o'clock Saturday morning, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon until 11 o'clock Sunday morning.
Yep, party house.
Well,
right,
honestly, Ken, that was one of my questions. Do we define short-term rental, long-term rental there, in hours or days?
Ms. Reed, you've got family that from here in connection that now that you're on this board are going to explain to you a lot better than I can explain. Or legally, better than I can explain.
That happens.
But this is a house.
For 30 days is short-term rental, any period.
Yeah, 30 days. But we're talking about by the day.
Yeah, that happens at every short-term rental on the island. It's no different than any other short-term rental.
And I think one of the houses he's talking about, they rent it by the hour, and it's cheaper if you bring your own linens.
Yep.
Is nuts. But this neighborhood, seriously, Ms. Reed, is one of the nicest neighborhoods. Good people. Like I said, I don't live in it. But good people. And I understand legally where the council's coming from. But I did hear the representative, legislative representative yesterday say that the states had thrown it back to the cities as far as the rentals.
To regulate, though, and not prohibit.
Let me choose my words real close. You all are in a position that I wouldn't want to be at. I know where this is coming. It's coming to the council, and I can almost tell you what the vote's going to be. But I appreciate you hearing it, and Mr. Pester, you're spot on. In it's bad. It's getting worse, and it's going to get worse because of just the nature of the economy, et cetera. I mean,
how many units we have in the short-term rental pool? You know,
300 maybe.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah,
it's down about 400 this year from last year. It was a high of 26 or 27.
No, maybe because we had to start enforcing that they register and pay their taxes. And, yeah. Yeah.
But you'll see as you drive the side of the streets, you know, you've got, 900 now MLS and for sale by owner homes. Last year we had, a three-month supply at this time. Now it's almost 2 years. People are selling. They're getting out. So what's happening, the weeds are growing up, and like they're renting by the day. But I just wanted to let you know, since they alluded the name of the council a couple of times, and we get blamed for a lot.
I appreciate that.
And appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I want to say something for the record. I've never owned rental property. I don't rent. I live here. I don't rent. I don't own rental property, but I'm involved with rental issues through an HOA. So I deal with them a lot too, just for the record. Can the city amend their short-term rental rules to a minimum number of nights, like 2 nights, which gets a weekend, or is that just as something to throw around as another suggestion?
Probably not, but there are other things that other city ordinances have that we still don't, including occupancy limits. But no, I don't think you could limit the amount of days.
Okay.
Occupancy limits is something definitely to think about.
Bob, didn't we talk for two meetings about occupancy limits and how many parking spaces?
Yeah.
And
I believe you had made some recommendations, but the parking spaces were adopted, but not the occupancy limits.
And they were kind of intertwined.
It
was more of we're not going to have the parking problem if we limit the number of occupants.
I guess we need to get back on our action item here, which is this petition. I mean, some of these other things and
what
we're talking about is great, but what we need to talk about is this petition.
And
we haven't made any motions specifically to the variance, to the variance
request. Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion then. I'll make a motion that we recommend to the city council that this request be denied. However, in lieu of this request, we recommend the city council that short-term rentals be limited in that no new permits are issued in zones A, E, and B2, and that once properties are sold in those zones, they will not transfer. The permits will not transfer.
Mm-hmm.
I think long-term, that kind of, it doesn't solve our problem overnight, but long-term, it slowly.
It starts the ball rolling.
Action,
I second it.
Discussion? Well, there's just numerous homes that are in these three categories, zoning. And, you know, I'm opposed to taking property rights away.
We're not taking property rights.
Well, there's a moratorium on your motion.
Okay.
That would halt that.
Okay. Well, we have a motion and a second. Let's take a vote, and if it doesn't go forward, doesn't go forward.
If we,
I like the idea of it.
If we make the motion and the motion is denied, does that mean we've approved?
No.
The zoning?
No, not at all.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make, because I felt like we had two different issues in that motion.
Yeah, there is.
Might have should be separated.
I would suggest if that motion is not approved, that you make a second motion to at least the intent is to deny the petition, yeah.
All right.
Remove the second so we can vote on the first.
Yeah, we have a motion and a second, right?
Okay, we do have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
What's the half?
Just the denial of the denial? This variance request.
This was the motion I made that had the denial of this request. However, we would recommend the City Council that they limit short-term rentals in the long term, in the fashion that I articulated, Mr. Chairman.
Now it's
yeah. That's clear with call for vote.
Yeah. Well,
there was a motion and a second.
Right.
Voted. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Okay.
So we had 3-4-2 against and one abstention.
Okay. Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, where are we at? Motion.
So that would pass 3-2.
Yeah. Motion carried. Okay. Okay. Well, item 5. We are adjourned.
All right.
Thank you.